I'd like to welcome you to Tips from the Server Room. This great new podcast is going to help you be a better systems administrator or just the average office techie. Once again, thanks for listening to Tips from the Server Room. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hey, good evening, everybody, once again, and welcome back to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is sponsored by the JTC Learning Network. And let me talk a little bit about your network. That's what we're going to look at tonight and talk a little bit about and try to remedy some stuff that's been happening with our network lately. And I don't want you to run into the same issues, so I thought maybe we would talk a little bit about the networking this evening and kind of how to troubleshoot it and how to look around your network for a little bit of, I don't know what to say here, a little bit of sustainability, I guess, because networks do break. No matter how much you work on your network and no matter how much you prepare for anything that may happen, networks do break, and that's just the way life is. So first of all, you got to ask yourself, and where I'm asking you, how large is your network? Our network right now currently has 700 nodes, and we're still actually doing some kind of an assessment right now on the number of switches we have. We know we have approximately 8 switches per cupboard. Some of our outlying cupboards, we have one switch serving 24 nodes per switch. We do have fiber optics running out to all those. We talked about that last week. We talked about bandwidth and the importance of fiber optics. But this week we came upon a issue. It was kind of not unique to us. We've ran into it before. And we ran into an issue about network collisions. And the way that network collisions happen is somebody, and we work in a rather large school, so somebody in the school actually shorted out our network. And what they've done was you can take any patch cable or just unplug the cable from the computer and stick it into another open jack. And instead of the network switch shutting down, what happened was it started to create a data collision within the switch, and it shut the switch down. So what happens is when the switch is going down, because of the routing tables in that switch, can no longer route because you have it basically shorted out. And what we had to do was go out and determine where that was, where that network switch is, isolate the switch, and we had to find out what port it was, and isolate the particular room or particular port that issue was having. So let's backtrack a little bit. When we first walked out, we first got the call. We got a call reporting that one computer didn't have internet access. And that's how you're going to get this call most of the time. You're going to get a call and they're going to say, hey, we have a computer out here. It doesn't have internet. But what they're not telling you is the whole story. It also does not have network, right? It does not have their server drives. It does not have access to any of the network resources. So you have to be the detective, guys and girls out there listening to this podcast. You got to be the detective. You're the one that has to say, well, let me drill down a little bit and investigate this a little bit further and see how this all works. Now, what we're talking about here is go out to that particular user and say, look, did you notice if your server drive disappeared? And we got, yes, we had no server drive. And then by that time, we have a help desk system, and we could talk about that another night here on Tips from the Server Room. We have a help desk system that we use, and we started to get more emails because our help desk actually emails us the ticket. So we started receiving more tickets and more emails stating that other people in this same particular building, only on this same particular floor, was losing network connectivity or just noticing that they do not have connectivity. So we started digging around in the upstairs cupboard where on the floor that we were on, because the way our network is broke down is we have our network switches and we have it by floor and sometimes even by corridors, which is even a better situation when you're building a network, because the more you can isolate your network out, and people tell you, well, wait, it's too big. Don't ever think that. I never want to have a 96-port switch in one rack with everything plugged in there, because you know why? it's very hard to isolate an issue, and you got to be very careful with that. You're better off to have 24 port switches, maybe 48, and I'll go 48 port. Have those out there in your cupboards and be able to take the time to lay it out, and you know, so you can isolate your network. So what we did was we have two fiber lines running into this particular cupboard of these switches. We have a top network cable, and I have three switches on that that particular fiber. And then I have three switches below that, and I have a piece of fiber going to those three switches. Those three switches are fed with one fiber, the other fed with the other fiber. So what we did was we first started isolating it, saying, okay, what part of the network didn't have internet access? Once we found those cables, we toned those cables out. Now, if you don't have a network toner, go buy one tomorrow. It's an invaluable piece of equipment that you're going to use over and over and over again. What we use that toner for is we put a tone on the line in the room, in the patch, and we come back and we can tone our rack out and we can find where we get that tone. That tells us what particular cable is on that particular switch or on that particular port. And what this does, it allows you then to isolate. And I know you should have them all marked, but this is a growing, living, breathing thing. I always say networks are living and breathing because they grow so rapidly. Right? Think about your own network. How many things do you just plug in? We plug in a ton of stuff into our network. And we even put little switches out, like a 5-port switch, and plug even more. So the networks are growing so rapidly that you may not have all the time you want in the world to go back and label everything real nice. So we use our toner. We find a cable that's giving us the issue, or we believe it's giving us the issue. So we unplug it from the switch. We unplug it from the switch, and we find that we still have no network connectivity. So then my next part of my troubleshooting for my network is, maybe it's your first, is to open up a laptop. We plug a network cable in and we plug into the switch that's giving us an issue. We then set up a ping command. Now when you set up your ping command, set up where ping, space, your IP address, what you want to ping. And then what you want to do there is put a /T. That tells it just continuously time. So it's just continuously pinging. You're not getting four pings and you're done. What this allows you to do is move that network patch cable around while having a visual on that laptop and watching your ping. So we plugged into the first switch and we were having trouble. And sure enough, there was no connectivity anywhere. So we decided that, well, okay, we had a recent power outage, so we're going to reboot the switch. So we unplugged the power cable on the back. We gave it about 4 or 5 minutes and we plugged the power cable back in. We got the power cable plugged back in. We started pinging right away for a few minutes. And then what happened was the ping went away back to a timeout. So we knew that was the particular switch we had a data collision in because the other fiber on top was running fine. Everybody was doing an absolute perfect job. They're on the internet. They're on their network. So we know we have no part in that issues in that trouble in that part. It's just sectored out to that one piece of fiber and one particular switch. So our next thought was, well, maybe the switch is giving us an issue. So we went out and we picked up another switch out of the cupboard because you should always have some backup switches, folks. That's another thing you should put in, on your list. Buy yourself a couple extra 24-port switches. They don't have to be expensive ones, just something to get you by with a network outage or a blown switch and get you back up in a hurry until you can order maybe a better one down the road or something. So we keep a couple of the little Cisco 24-port switches, 10 100 1 gig switch, and it costs a couple $100. Just keep those just in case of an emergency. So the other day was an emergency. So we unplugged the switch, we plugged in the new one. And then what we did was we plugged our laptop in, we set our ping command up to start pinging. And what we found was as we plugged each cable in, we gave it a few seconds to see if we can crash the network. Well, wouldn't you know, by the time we hit about the fifth or sixth cable, we crashed the network. Once again, we lost connectivity, we lost the switch. So we knew we had the culprit from the room and where we was actually looking for it. So we left that cable hang out, we put all the other cables back in, and we started to bring the network back up online. Now, once you have a big major data collision on a switch and that switch actually shuts itself off or takes itself out of the line, because what's gonna happen is, it wants to isolate itself so it doesn't hurt anything else. So that switch actually did its job. It shut itself down. It took itself out of the network and said, look, It's not communicating anywhere. Then we unplugged it, plugged it back in, and we got our ping started again. We knew we were pinging. We knew we had network connectivity, and we knew we had our people coming back up online. At that point, then we got the toners again, and we went back out to that room, plugged back into the port, and toned again, and we found that the port actually in the room was toning back. So we knew we had it. Then we took our pen and marked it on the board. Now, what we're currently working on right now to kind of alleviate this, our network has grown so quickly at our school because of the use of what's called end computers. Now, if you don't know what end computers are, it's where one workstation actually hosts or runs 4 or 5 computers, or 4 or 5 terminals, virtual sessions basically is all it is. And you only need one network drop to do this. So with that one network drop, it was very easy for us to go back, mark them. We toned every patch out in that room, and we unplugged the cables out of the patch panel. Because what we're doing there is we're going to strip our patch panels down this summer, and we're going to start basically thinning the network out. If you don't need it, we're going to disconnect it, because these kids are getting very smart on the network and plugging things in. Now, where you, even in corporate America, you have to worry about this stuff, because what you're going to worry about is, in corporate America, Joe Blow loves to do things. Even we have children, we have kids. You guys have adults you may be working with. But what Joe Blow wants to do is, he may want to get on the wireless without you knowing. So he comes in, he plugs his wireless box, his little Linksys wireless router, into your network, into an open patch, and he brings it up. It creates a DHCP, it creates everything he needs, and he fires it up, and he's good to go. He has internet access through your network, but he's wireless on his iPad or Kindle Fire or whatever it may be. So you also may need to go back, look at your network, and thin things out. And that brought up my next question was, how many ports do you have in your network? I have never actually counted our ports. We're going to be doing a total assessment here soon. So we are going to find out how many ports we have running, and then how many ports are active. And that kind of gives you your total breakdown of your basic wired nodes. Now, if your corporation is anything like our school district, or if you're listening to this, if you're from a school district, you know, and I've been preaching this for a few years, our wireless is starting to outpace our wired network. When I started the school, we had everything was basically wired 10 years ago. After I started, I started rolling out some wireless for laptops and such, because the old coordinator did not want this because they did not feel it was secure and there was issues with it. And he was really saying is, I don't understand wireless and I don't want to learn. But what my goal is, as being such as your goal in your business, if you're listening to this and you're running your IT in your business, or taking care of your technology for your company or your school, or maybe you're just the person that was thrown into it and you're just listening to this podcast to try to pick up some pointers, what you have to do is you have to do a good assessment to know what you have out there. And it's our job to, and as I tell my partner every day, it's our job to support a mission. If you work in the drafting field and you have drafters and you have engineers maybe creating drawings, and it's your job to make sure their computer works so they can do their thing, because their end product is paying you in the long run. So when somebody at the school brought in a laptop and said, it'd be nice to see if we had some wireless, that's wonderful, because we can provide wireless. And now today we have even a more modern system, and we're upgrading it again this summer, and we'll talk about that later when I go through those upgrades, because I'm going to keep that for another show, because I think it would be a great show to talk to you about wireless networking, how we pull in, what we have chosen to use, and even maybe why we chose it. Right now we're running Cisco gear, and it works. It works rather well, but the network is growing, and we need to make sure that we have that back end that we need to introduce in our school Chromebooks this next coming school year. So we have to build the back end so the user experience will be, you know, what they want it to be. That's the main thing we're looking at. So that was my question to you, is how many ports you have. I mean, you need to map your network out. You need to get out there and actually start digging around your network and registering these ports. If you're a consultant for businesses, when people call me to do consulting work and I walk into their business, the first thing I do is an assessment. I want the assessment. I take notes. I put it in my Evernote with a notebook based on their particular business. And I make notes in there and I keep those notes. It's very important because if you're not in a business all the time, such as our school, we live in and work there. I've been there for 10 years. I pretty much built the network from ground up. So I know the network. I know where it can hiccup. I know the issues we can have. But when I go and do my consulting work, that business might call me once every 3 months. I don't always remember what's going on in that business. I don't always remember what's there. And I know that I have to be able to walk in there. Or if they call, I have to get all this situation back in my mind. Say, look, I have these notes, and let me go over these. Like the day they decided to reset their router and blew all my Mac security codes out because I secure their wireless gear with Mac security instead of WEP because nobody can crack the Mac because it's registered to their devices, and that's all it's going to work on the wireless. So, again, all that's in my Evernote, all those are, so I was able to copy and paste it back into their router and get their router back up in several minutes instead of taking me several hours to get those numbers again and redo all that. So the importance of documentation, I cannot tell you the importance. It's so major that you must do this. Now, we do 10 after 10 years. I have notes everywhere in our school because I've used so many different programs, but I'm trying to build my life around Evernote, and I use it extensively for everything except passwords, because that's another story. I don't trust my passwords being just out there in the world. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk just briefly about here, I just figured I'd touch base on this with you, is do you use VLANs? And the reason I'm touching base with you guys on this, if you're listening to this podcast, and I know we don't have a big listening audience right now, but we have a few, and that's the people I'm addressing. If there's 10 or 20 people out there listening, then I thank you for subscribing and downloading this show. But I do want you to come back and comment. And if you want to comment, it's tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Come to that website and comment underneath of this actual podcast. You'll see the player there. And just drop a comment or two and let me know. So how many or do you use VLANs? Now, VLAN, if you're not familiar with VLANs, is a virtual LAN. All right, so we have a switch set up. With that switch, we have our normal LANs because we have the hard cabled, hard wired LANs in there, right? Local area network connections. And what the VLAN allows us to do is create a virtual local area network connection within that hardware network. Just like we do with our servers now, right? You virtualize your servers, at least I hope you do. And that's going to be another show for another night. We'll talk about servers and virtualizing. But do you actually virtualize your switches? And folks, what this allows us to do is it allows us to start segregating our switches out even more. I tell you that we break our switches out pretty well. And I say pretty well because anytime you build anything, you're going to think it's great. I think my network is fantastic, out of this world, and great because I built it. But I've had people come in and do an assessment for me, say, what am I doing? Am I doing it right? What do you think? And I get their opinions. Sometimes I get their opinions like, what the hell did you do that for, Jack? And I'll be like, look, you have to do this for this or do this for this. And then they're either going to say it's good or they give me a better way to do it. And I can take criticism. You have to be able to take criticism when you do this job also from the people that know it. And let's put it to you that way. If you're taking criticism about your network from somebody that uses Microsoft Word and thinks they know about the computer systems, then you need to rethink that a little bit. But if I'm calling an engineer to come into my network and say, look, am I doing things right? And they point out and take a look and say, you could do this better. Then I do it better. That's why I pay them. And that's why I make sure I bring these people in from time to time. So, but my question is to you is, and what I want your comments from, and I'd love to get your comments because I know you're listening. And I think that's so important to any podcaster, because we sit here, we're looking at our computer screen at our notes, and we're talking for, you know, 20 minutes, half hour to an hour. And we want to get your feedback, because without that, it's like we're talking to ourselves. And I know this stuff and it's in my head. I just want to share it with everybody out there listening to the show. So here's my questions for you. If you would like to comment and give me some feedback, and even comment, tell me what you do on your network, what you do in your company. I mean, are you the systems administrator? Are you the network guy? Are you the programmer? Whatever. Maybe you're the I worked for one company where the finance person was actually putting user accounts in the Active Directory because there was nobody else that knew how to do it. They didn't hire a tech guy until they hired me. So this is the question we're looking at is, how large is your network? How many switches do you have out in your network? And how many nodes do you have? And if you're not familiar with nodes, that's basically how many devices out there, wireless and wired. How many open ports do you believe you have out there in your network or in your switches that you're not using? And what I mean by open ports, not even so much on in your server room, because those are pretty secure. At least I hope there's nobody around your switches, around your server room. I hope you keep those locked, under lock and key and guard and air conditioned and whatever. But I'm talking about open ports out in your network. I would like to know there what you might have open out there that somebody can tap into. And do you use VLANs? I mean, do you use any VLANs at all? And, you know, if you're into virtual LANs, I'd like to know about that. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed this version of Tips from the Server Room. If you're looking for great education, that's why I started the JTC Learning Network. If you go to jackstechcorner.com and you click on the online class link at the top, you will find online classes on, well, now I have classes on VMware ESXi 5. I have classes on Windows Server 2008 R2, from install to administration, which there's a lot of students in there and they really love the course. Once you complete these courses, you do earn a certificate. And I just created a new course called Windows Server 2012. So if you're interested in that, that stuff is there. That's why I created the JTC Learning Network, because I've contacted a lot of colleges out there, and I intern a lot of students through my work. We have people coming in from local colleges. And colleges charge a lot of money, especially for continuing education when you're trying to learn the new stuff. That's why I created these courses, and that's why I put these up. And they're doing very well. So if you want to get on there, they're very inexpensive. And it's going to teach you a lot. You watch a video, take a little quiz. At the end, you gain a certificate for your resume or for your records. And most of these courses, I found that even people's workplaces have paid for them for them. So you can even approach your workplace and say, hey, I want to take this course. Can I do that? So, but with that said, thank you very much for joining me here for Tips from the Server Room, the big episode number 4. It's just like we're getting started with all this, and I can't wait to bring you more and more stuff about your servers and your networks and computers in general, and we'll talk about all that. But thank you very much for joining me here, and I hope to talk to you again next week on Tips from the Server Room. Have a good night, everybody, and I'll see you then. You've been listening to Tips from the Server Room. Thank you very much for tuning into this podcast. Please subscribe if you're not already subscribed, and check out my website, tipsfromtheserverroom.com. I'll see you next time. Take care, and bye for now.